The United States has been leading international efforts to get more humanitarian assistance to Gaza. Tonight, I'm directing the U.S. military to lead an emergency mission to establish a temporary pier in the Mediterranean on the coast of Gaza.
Wow. And we talked about this yesterday on the Dana Show. And I was telling producer Steve, I thought that this morning, I thought this issue would be on fire. But thanks to Joe Biden bumbling his way through the State of the Union, thanks to a couple of people in the audience having something to say to Joe Biden in the middle of the speech. Yeah, we're focusing on other issues right now. Welcome to the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash, and we're broadcasting to you from faithful affiliate KURV in the RGV of Texas. That would be Star Base, Brownsville, over here in McAllen, Mission, Edinburgh. We're in deep South Texas on the border, and so glad that you could join us today. My goodness. Joe Biden, of course, he had talked immigration. He was telling lawmakers to pass that bipartisan border bill, the toughest, most conservative ever. Here's a claim from Joe Biden. It's cut seven, Steve-O, on that bipartisan border bill. Cut seven. Go ahead,
bro. The Border Patrol Union has endorsed this bill. The Federal Chamber of Commerce is... Yeah. You're saying low. Look at the facts. I know you know how to read.
The reason that he got some pushback from individuals in the U.S., conservative Republicans who pushed back, when he claimed that the Border Patrol Union endorsed the bill, he's making reference to one of the chiefs of the Border Patrol Union nationwide chapter that initially had expressed tacit, superficial support for it because, you know, something's got to get done and there's some resources there for Border Patrol. But that Border Patrol leader walked it back. He did a 180, because after that Border Patrol leader got some criticism, said, what are you doing? You are looking at this border bill, comprehensive border bill, that in essence is codifying, you know, $150,000 monthly, which winds up being 1.8 million illegal immigrants crossing the border, I mean, into law. The text allowing 150,000 illegal immigrants cross the border and stay. 1.8 million every single year before the government does anything, before Homeland Security, before the president. He's not doing anything now. You codify, you put into law 1.8 million illegals crossing the border before you expect the government to do anything. That's madness. And the Border Patrol Union leader walked it back. And that's why he said, look at the facts. Yeah, he was used. That Border Patrol Union leader was used in the initial support of the assets, of the equipment, of the personnel, which would be really adding just to the welcome wagon. There were some lively moments in last night's speech as well. Of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene forcing Joe Biden to say her name. Say her name, Laken Riley, this University of Georgia, young woman, out for a jog, and normally would be a safe place for she and other students to be out in the community exercising. You know, it's a college town, you know, well-to-do neighborhood, but in that part of the country, like many parts of the country, they got idiots for leaders at their city hall and county government declaring themselves sanctuary cities or sanctuary counties. Well, in some cases, the whole enchilada, the sanctuary states. And yes, the makeup, the fabric of the community is being deteriorated. It's being poisoned. Just like Donald Trump said, when he makes reference to the poisoning of the American culture, Joe Biden is allowing way too many criminals, individuals with a criminal record, individuals who have warrants to be arrested in this country, who have been allowed to come and go as they wish. That's the danger. The list of individuals that are on the terrorist watch list, as the individuals caught are off the chart, and those are the ones that have been caught. What about the ones that haven't been caught? So as you saw at the beginning, if you see the video on this and go back and review it this weekend at your leisure, you'll see at the beginning, he's walking, Joe Biden's kind of shuffling and walking in, and I don't, Oh my! All the sycophants. Picture taking opportunities. I guess it's the hard lefties who belong to hard left congressional districts. They want to be seen with him and kissing the brass ring and kissing him, his diaper butt, because it's going to help all these lefties. You know, it's a hard left, and some of these congressional districts are completely lost. There's no hope whatsoever of conservatives, liberty loving, America loving patriots to take over those districts because they're deep, deep blue. They're completely lost. And I guess it's some of those people that came up and, you know, they want to be seen with him as he's walking down the aisle towards the podium. Somebody was able to get to him a little badge, a little button that mentioned this young lady, this victim, illegal immigrant, and illegal, as Joe Biden correctly said, by the way, an illegal responsible for killing Lincoln Riley. Boy, he didn't say the name that way exactly. It's cut number four, Steve, cut number four. Say your name, they say. Say your name.
Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. There That's right. But how many of thousands of people being killed by illegals?
Mm-hmm. Well, that pathetic. Called her Lincoln, but then said at the end, like trying to excuse his comment or justify his comment. It's as if he was saying, so what of it? What about it? But almost like Hillary saying, what difference does it make? First they said Lincoln Riley and said, yeah, she died like so many other people died. And what of it? I think that's a gold, that audio, that video, I think that's a gold nugget of information that needs to be dispensed quickly, repeatedly, ad nauseam, between now and November, by the Republican National Committee. Oh, that's right. They have no money to buy any advertising right now. You cats over at the National Republican Party, you guys need to get your act together like now. I know you're still working on new leadership and fundraising. We are at war, politically speaking. Now, I want to keep it that way. I would prefer that we are at war, politically speaking, and that conservatives and traditionalists and liberty-minded individuals, folks who love capitalism, folks who advocate for market activity, for prosperity, folks who love this country, want to protect this country so that our children and our grandchildren can enjoy the same, just like we did. Those people are out there waiting to participate with winners. The Republican Party needs to change things up. Joe Biden went, and there was a little bit of audio after this, Steve. I don't know if you had it, but after he said incorrectly pronounced Lincoln Riley's name, Lincoln Riley, put up that little badge that he got that somebody gave him, and said like, almost said like, what of it? Like, people die all the time. And then he made it all about himself, as he always does. He attempts to wrap himself around an issue. You know, I've had, you know, I have children die as well. And then he went even further. And Dopey made the case of what conservatives and folks who want border security, want to protect the nation, we've been saying the whole time. Individuals, illegals, as he correctly, that's one of the few words that he said correct last night, was illegals murdered by an illegal, not illegal immigrant or illegal alien. He said it as we used to say it about two decades ago before everything got so hyper PC and we started down this awful path where everything's just open right now. And it's the illegals. They get the sympathy and the attention and the funding from the left. Veterans, be damned. Homeless veterans, be damned. The black community, same thing. We need your community centers. We need all these hotels. We need to use all these properties, all the square footage for the illegals. And give them big debit cards and, you know, protect them because they're more important than citizens in this country. All right, let them on the plane. Same plane that everybody had to do all the security checks and the picture checks and all that. Go through TSA. Yeah, just let them on the plane. It's madness. It's ridiculous. You vote Democrat, national Democrat, you get stupid prizes. And in many of these deep blue Democrat states, now they're finding out the same thing. Joe Biden went on to admit, and if you find that audio, Steve, because I'd like to play it, it's where he said that individuals coming into this country and they're staying, you know, for 6, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. He admitted it. Because, see, in this bipartisan immigration bill, he thinks that they're only going to stay for 4, 5, or 6 months. That's what's supposed to happen already. And he thinks that by allocating money for all these judges, for all these individuals that are going to be assessing these cases, those judges, those individuals, magistrates for immigration, they need to be, first of all, they need to be hired. Number two, they need to be trained. That's not going to take 30 days after you pass. That's going to take years to get those individuals trained. It's like, this is not a solution, what he's proposing. And he admitted it. He said, individuals come to this country, they stay 4, 5, 6 years. Yeah, you invited them, dopey. They're coming because they know they can abuse the asylum system and stay in this country. He thinks that just because there's text on some piece of paper that no one's going to read, that they're only going to stay here 4 or 5 months, and everybody's going to get the word about that, and they're not going to come anymore. Thank you, Steve. It's cut eight. Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead.
The result was a bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen. Oh, you don't think so?
Come on, man.
Oh, you don't like that bill, huh? That conservatives got together and said it was a good bill? I'll be darned. That's amazing. That bipartisan bill would hire 1,500 more security agents and officers, 100 more immigration judges to help tackle the backload of 2 million cases, 4,300 more asylum officers, and new policies so they can resolve cases in 6 months instead of 6 years now.
Yeah. And how long is it going to take to hire, number one, hire all those? Border Patrol can't hire enough people for their welcome wagon. They've been having hiring problems for the longest time at Border Patrol. And all these people need to be trained. It's not a solution for now. It just exacerbates the problem. And as Republicans have rightfully been saying, it codifies, it puts into law, puts it, you know, when the government passes something, they never do a 180. They never go back. Oh, you know, we need to reverse course on this. We need to sunset this law. They never do that. And in this law, 150,000 monthly, 1.8 million yearly. Oh, and then we'll go around it and start doing something about this. Absolutely nuts. There's another piece of audio here. And by the way, thank you. Look, I know some of y'all are so sensitive now. Oh, what about decorum? What about respect? What did your mama say? Well, if you had a good mom or a good dad in your life, you have to earn respect. And Joe Biden, nothing of what he has done has led to the American people, Border Patrol, industry, you name it. He's done nothing to earn Americans' respect. So, yeah, that was Marjorie Taylor Greene saying, yeah, say your name. And he did, said it wrong, and then brought out the truth. He knows what the problem is. He just doesn't want to do anything about it. And is hiding the fact that, you know, you can let almost 2 million illegals into the country before you do anything. And he's not doing anything now. They won't do anything about that in the future. And it's cut six, Steve. Cut six, the Gold Star father that was taken into custody for yelling out. Let's hear this audio real quick.
All Americans deserve the freedom to be safe. And America is safer today than when I took office. Year before I took office, murder rates went up 30%. 30% they went up. The biggest increase in history. It was then, through my American Rescue Plan, which every American
United States Marines, and then at this point is when he was arrested. He's a Gold Star dad. This Gold Star dad lost his child, lost a service member in Afghanistan when Joe Biden bungled that exit from Afghanistan, led to the death of over a dozen service members in our country. I hope that Gold Star father is okay. Had a conversation with Texas Senator Ted Cruz about this, and I asked Ted to go check up on him. Where is that father right now? They arrested this guy because he was screaming from the gallery. Because, in essence, Joe Biden did led to his his son being killed in Afghanistan. So stick around. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez reporting to you from South Texas.
All right, folks, so new sponsors over at Fast Growing Trees, the biggest online nursery in the United States. And they have more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States. Get lemon, avocado, olive, fig trees. You can have all of these at your home on top of the wide variety of house plants that they have available. And Fast Growing Trees makes it really easy to order online. And your plants are shipped directly to your door in just 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they also offer free plant consultation. If you are not like me, I have a green thumb, but if you're not like me, then you can always ask them questions about whatever it is that you need. Any trees, any plants, they make it really easy. And so you don't have to like drive around and look at different nurseries. You can take advantage of their consultation and then you can get your stuff in just 1 to 2 days. So right now they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants. And plus, when you use code Dana at checkout, you're going to save an additional 15%. So go to fastgrowingtrees.com and be sure to use code Dana at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's fastgrowingtrees.com, code D-A-N-A. Offer is valid for limited time, so tell them we sent you.
How much do you spend from your paycheck in about 100 days? The federal government is on pace to spend over $1 trillion per every 100 days. Are Speaker Johnson and congressional Republicans doing anything about it? Enough is enough.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Legislation up in D.C., they say bipartisan legislation. I find this interesting. TikTok is under fire up in D.C. So legislation that would ban, outright ban TikTok in our country has left the committee. Unanimous. Democrats and Republicans, well, they agree on one thing. You got to get rid of Communist Party-owned TikTok. We got, I don't know how many millions and millions of people in this country are logged on to TikTok. They have TikTok accounts. They're monetized. They're making money off of TikTok, putting stupid videos up there. House Energy Commerce Committee unanimously voted to advance this bipartisan bill. They want TikTok to divorce from their China-based parent company, ByteDance. I don't know if that would be the solution. I need to ask some eggheads and nerds about this, because I mean, wouldn't the service still be in China even if you divest? That's the whole argument, right? Is the Chinese government, the communists in China, they have access to all this personal information that all these Americans, Europeans, everybody's participating in. Illegal immigrants are using jet skis and surfboards to try to get around the border wall in San Diego. Report from Fox 5 saying that people are using boats and jet skis and surfboards to enter San Diego, and that's all you need to do. It's kind of like the Cubans of old, right? You land on U.S. soil. Asylum, please. Yeah, there's your paperwork. Muchacho, come on in and, you know, enjoy your wait in America for the asylum court. Hey, and don't forget, this weekend is daylight saving time. It's this weekend. We lose an hour, so Saturday night to Sunday morning, you have to wake up an hour early to go to church on Sunday morning. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas.
As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, we're all going to have to go buy gold because the world's ending. You want to be able to have, you know, an actual physical thing that you can touch that as a hedge to your all of this stuff with inflation, government spending. The gold IRA field, it can be confusing. And so if you're looking for a precious metals company to trust, it's not easy to do. One of the reasons why I like Goldco is because they make it really easy. They send you this whole awesome kit. It's that walks you through everything. It's a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers, and it explains the whole economy, how gold IRAs work, and they just want to make it easy to understand so you can get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. And they understand too that precious metals ownership is a very important part of your overall retirement savings strategy. They have an unmatched customer service, zero complaint record, first rate service, and there's no pressure at all, no fees either, and you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee. Protect your family's financial future and freedom, and get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Goldco and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
This is the 36th of these for me, State of the Unions or presidential addresses at the beginning, first one being 1989. Never heard one so political. Never heard one that is such a campaign speech.
Yeah, the speech, right, John? John King over at the Clueless News Network, CNN? The speech, right? That was a campaign speech. That was a political speech last night. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for Dana Lash. This is The Dana Show. We're coming at you from Texas, South Texas. She's in North Texas. I'm in South Texas. Faithful affiliate, KURV. Sergio at KURV.com. At Sergio Talk on Twitter, on X. Let me cut 17, Steve-O. Captain Obvious, Jay Tapper. Yeah, the presentation, enunciation, not quite there. Cut 17.
Presentation, Steve-O. His enunciation, of course, is not as clear as it once was a decade or two ago. His mind did seem fairly sharp. He had lived a response to a pretty harsh moment and some heckling about the tragic murder of UGA student Lincoln Riley. He got her name wrong. He called her Lincoln Riley, but as a general note, he condemned her murder, which was something that people were talking about.
President Joe Biden. Hey, so tell me, what does your loafer with extra grip at the bottom, what did it taste like, sir? Since he did stick his foot in his mouth big time. Yeah, pretty sharp. Fumbled, mumbling response. He made the point for all conservatives, for all folks who want border defense, talking about how individuals are gaming the system, coming into this country, staying for 6-7 years, and thinking that, you know, as he's not enforcing law right now, these people hearing that they're only going to stick around for 4-6 months, they're not. They're not. Mispronouncing the name of Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley, he said. And then making about himself, you know, I've lost children too. You know, and then, you know, pretty much like, what difference does it make, like Hillary Clinton? So she died and others die all the time. Wow. Hey, you guys over at the Clueless News Network. Man, John King, you paying attention? Jake Tapper, seriously, Jake. Oh, my goodness, brother. Why do you feel the obligation to carry the water to excuse this fool's behavior? I mean, I'm trying not to say certain adjectives because, you know, you can get all flowery and colorful, and Joe Biden makes it easy. We are a free press in this country, Jake, Mr. King, John King. We are a free press that's supposed to be holding the feet of these politicians to the fire, hold them responsible, accountable for it, their lack of leadership. And you guys have been doing nothing but throwing softballs at Joe Biden, excusing his behavior, not pointing the grotesque and deadly incompetence on foreign policy, on Afghanistan, on the border. We depend, as a nation, we depend on Gold Star fathers to get up in the gallery and say the name United States Marine on behalf of a son lost in Afghanistan. That's blood on Joe Biden's hands. We depend on lawmakers breaking, you know, tradition and decorum, forcing him to say a name he refused. He would not have said Lincoln Riley's name last night had Marjorie Taylor Greene not said, say her name. Good for the congresswoman. Good for the Gold Star dad. We depend what the media should be doing. They should be doing their job. Citizens are desperately, and crowds going out there, FJB, and, you know, let's go Brandon, having to do on behalf of the American people. You guys on the left, you guys Democrat Party apologists, Joe Biden apologists on the left, seriously, dudes, you guys are disgusting. Let's see here, what else is the news? I want to share with you some comments from Ted Cruz. This one before I go to Ted. Check this out. From Utah. A Salt Lake City bar is stirring up controversy with the announcement of a no-Zionist policy. The owner of a place called Weathered Waves Bar saying that the policy is to prohibit hate speech. No hate speech. Says that the bar remains inclusive of all religions, including Judaism. However, he said that Zionism an ideology that is not a religion. No defenders of the Israeli state at this place called Weathered Waves Bar. So I guess Muslims, all Muslims welcome, right? I got news for you, sir. Last I checked, a good Muslim is not into drinking any alcohol. So I guess you'll depend on anybody who's an apologist for Hamas to go there and provide you some business. Yeah, about 20 minutes to the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for my friend Dana Lash. And earlier today, this morning, had a chance to speak with my friend Ted Cruz on the State of the Union speech last night. Or reaction to the state of the, as I refer to it, the disunion speech. Of course, you're not going to hear that from, really from any president. Of course, they go up there and say, the State of the Union is strong. And Joe Biden out there, the gall to say, is getting stronger. Dude, the chasm has been wider before in this nation. I mean, after all, we fought a civil war and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands died as a result. Oh, a long time ago. Yeah, the chasm was really wide during Vietnam. And ironically, we got the Democrats back in Chicago this go around. Oh, Lord Jesus help us. I hope nothing bad happens. But yeah, we're not unified as a nation right now. And we had a long campaign speech last night. Let me bring in our senator from Texas and friend Ted Cruz. You know, what a clown show this all has become. Sadly, we got one more year of Joe Biden. And as I've said before, the cavalry is not coming. The border mess that we have is here to stay and might get worse between now and the end of his administration.
Well, Sergio, that's exactly right. And I got to say, I was on the floor of the House for the State of the Union address. I've seen 12 State of the Union addresses. It was by far the worst I've ever seen. It was angry. It was bitter. For most of the night, he was yelling. It was radical and extreme. It was a hard left speech. And the entire thing reminded me of a grumpy old man standing on his front porch screaming at the kids, get off my lawn. It was designed to appeal to the hard left. What it said last night, it was a campaign speech, but it was a bad campaign speech. Because what it said is that Joe Biden wants no votes of Republicans anywhere in the country. There was not a word in that speech designed to earn the vote of a Republican. He wants no votes from independents. He's telling independents, go jump in a lake. This was all designed to shore up his support with the hard left, with the squad, with Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and AOC. And for 70% of the country, he essentially said, I got nothing to say to you.
He gave the Republicans, in my opinion, several tidbits of audio and video that could easily turn around and help the American voters connect the dots, help them, because that's what it takes, Senator. It's like you have to go on offense and message. And right now, and it's really easy. I mean, any novice could figure out all you need is like a half dozen states, 40 congressional districts that could go swing right or left. They need to be, as I've been saying, carpet bombing messaging online before they open up that stupid little YouTube video, get a message out there, put Joe Biden fumbling all over the place saying, yeah, well, Ms. Laken Riley, she died, but other people die, and I've lost children before. All that ridiculousness. And point out the lack of leadership, the void that we have in the executive branch.
Look, that's exactly right. I think it spoke volumes that he went more than 40 minutes into the speech before he even mentioned the crisis at the southern border. You're down there in the valley right now. You're seeing it every day. It is such a low priority for this administration. It's not even that it's a low priority. They want the disaster that's unfolding. They're deliberately creating it. You know, I said before the speech, I said four words that Biden was not going to say were Laken Riley and Jeremy Caceres. Now that proved not entirely right, because towards the end of the speech, one member of the House yelled out, heckled, and called out Laken Riley, said, say her name. And he finally did, sort of, although he screwed it up. He called her Lincoln Riley, who's, of course, a football coach at USC. But what he said was so incredibly offensive. So he said, well, she died, and to her parents, I'm sorry you lost your daughter. But what he didn't do is take one whit of responsibility that it is his fault and his policy's fault that she lost her life. And if you look at what happened there, it's infuriating. The murderer who killed Laken Riley, we had him. He was apprehended. He was in federal custody in El Paso, Texas. He had come illegally from Venezuela. And if Joe Biden had simply followed the law, under the law, when you apprehend him, you're supposed to put him on a plane and fly him back to Venezuela. If he'd done that, Laken Riley would be alive today. But he didn't. He refused to deport him, and instead he paroled him. He released him into the country. Now, what happened? That murderer then went to New York City. He was again arrested, this time for endangering the safety of a child. And New York City, unfortunately, is run by Democrats. It is a sanctuary city. And so what do? They release him. They turn around and release him. If New York City had kept him in jail, Laken Riley would be alive. And so Biden said not a word about his responsibility. And not just Laken Riley, Jeremy Caceres. Jeremy Caceres is a two-year-old child who was killed in Prince George's County just a few weeks ago. A two-year-old boy murdered by an illegal alien that Joe Biden released. And he won't say his name. He takes no responsibility. And maddeningly, we know there will be more people killed tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day because Joe Biden defiantly intends to keep releasing criminals into this country because he's got a political agenda and the welfare of the American people apparently doesn't rank as a priority for him.
And callously responds to it. But it's like he said, Laken Riley, or in his words, Lincoln Riley, died. Well, it's like he said, people die all the time. And then he does that stupid thing he always does. He tries to make it about him. So, well, I've lost children too. And this callous response of him, and by the way, he did say, properly said, killed by an illegal, number one. And then he also said, he acknowledged the fact that these illegals, they come into the country and they stay and that they're gaming the system and they stay for years. Like, hello, dopey. That's the whole idea. You know what the problem is. You refuse to do anything about it. He exposed that. That's another little tidbit of audio and video that should be playing over and over again.
Well, I'll tell you, last night, Sergio, my guest, every senator is entitled to bring one guest to the speech, and my guest was Sheriff Danny Dominguez. Sheriff Dominguez is the sheriff of Presidio County out in West Texas, but right along the Rio Grande. He has 108 miles of the Rio Grande River in his county. Sheriff Dominguez is a Democrat. He's been an elected Democrat sheriff for 28 years, and Sheriff Dominguez is fed up. He's fed up with the Biden White House undermining and attacking law enforcement, and he's fed up with the open borders that he's dealing with every day. I was really proud Sheriff Dominguez came to be with me to stand together and to say, enough, fix this. This is not right what this administration is doing to our country.
You know, a missed opportunity. I don't know where a subway rider, Marine, New Yorker Daniel Penny is, if he's out of jail or he could even travel. But somebody invited Kathy Hochul, New York governor, who seems to have an epiphany of late when it comes to illegal immigration, for, I think, for political purposes. But she is hearing it from her constituency because New York cops getting beaten up by illegals. So the crime is so bad in the subway system in New York. She's calling out the National Guard, putting soldiers down there just a few weeks, months removed from Marine Daniel Penny protecting riders from a thug, from a punk who was attacking these subway riders, putting him in a chokehold. The punk dies, and Marine Daniel Penny being prosecuted by this incompetent DA's office in New York. Somebody should have invited, if possible, Daniel Penny to be there last night to say something. And I'm glad whoever invited the father of the fallen from Afghanistan. Yep. That was another one of those animated moments where the father, he said something. He wanted to get his voice out there, and he did. Good for him. I don't know where he is right now. Can you please follow up? Make sure that, because they said he was arrested last night. I hope he's okay.
I do too. And it was, again, Joe Biden takes no responsibility for the human suffering that his policies have caused. The 13 servicemen and women who were murdered in Afghanistan. Why? Because Joe Biden disastrously, incompetently withdrew from Afghanistan and left them in harm's way. And I got to tell you, Sergio, as you know, I do a podcast every week, 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's called Verdict with Ted Cruz. One of the podcasts I'm most proud of is we did a podcast over a year ago where we focused on the testimony of a young Marine before the House of Representatives, where he was there in Afghanistan, and they spotted the suicide bomber. They had intelligence. They knew what he looked like. He was prepared to take him out. And his superior said, you are not allowed to because the White House won't let us. And they stopped him from taking him out, and that suicide bomber detonated that bomb, murdered 13 servicemen and women, including the son of the man who was at the speech last night,
yeah,
and badly wounded this Marine that was testifying to the House. And, of course, the corporate media utterly and completely ignored that testimony. That's why I spent an entire podcast playing the testimony, examining it, talking about it, because the American people deserve to know that these political decisions are resulting in tragedy, and they're doing it every single day.
Please check up on that Gold Star dad if you can, Senator. And thank you for the call. Big hug to you, Ted, and you and the crew.
Thank you.
Ted Cruz, our senator from Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're in tune with The Dana Show.
Have you seen any of those viral videos, the ones that show aisles stacked with emergency food supplies in stores? It kind of makes you wonder, like, what do they know that you don't? Well, you already know how I feel about being prepared myself. So why bother with the hassle of stores, which you know just mark up all their prices, when you can order directly and save? With Wise Food Storage, you're guaranteed access to delicious, high-quality food exactly when you need it the most. Visit wisefoodstorage.com and enter code DANA in the search bar to unlock exclusive deals just for you, like their current offer, the buy one, get one free on their 72-hour survival food kit. Not only that, but Wise Food Storage offers fast and free shipping on most orders. With their remarkable 25-year shelf life, these provisions will be ready for you whenever the need should arise. So instead of endlessly doom-scrolling through all the videos, wondering what catastrophe could be next, take action and secure your food supply today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar for exclusive deals. That's wisefoodstorage.com and use code Dana.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Big hug to everyone tuning in right now. It's The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and from my friend Dana Lash. So the report today from D.C. on job growth, more than expected for the month of February, Labor Department saying 275,000 jobs added to the U.S. economy. But, and there's a big but, so last month, you know, they shaved over 100,000 jobs, like 130,000, 140,000 jobs from the previous big fat report. In December, they did the same thing. So how are we supposed to believe these numbers? Now, are all these numbers real, or are they just being cooked to manipulate, you know, some economic activity, maybe decreasing the price of money, interest rates, all that, on an election year? Conversation on this coming up next hour of The Dana Show. My friend Tim Snyder from MatadorEconomics.com. And as I spoke with my friend Ted Cruz, our senator here from Texas, just FYI, he's up for re-election, in case you didn't know this, for all our friends and family all across the nation tuning in. Ted Cruz is up for re-election. They got some Democrat running against him, calling Allred from North Texas. And University of Texas Tyler, they ran a poll. Just thought I'd let you know in case you want to support Ted or the other guy. It's up to you. We have all types of people tuning in. Ted Cruz and the Democrat are pretty much tied neck and neck right now in that race for Ted Cruz's seat in the U.S. Senate. Also going to be getting more reaction from a friend of mine, Mr. Felitti, on, you know, the speech last night, or the campaign speech last night, so-called State of the Union. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show.
Peltech, the Sub 2K. If you don't have yours yet, you should go out and get it. They came out with a whole bunch of really cool stuff the past year. And the Sub 2K, this is the Gen 3. So maybe some of you are like me and you already have the Sub 2K. Well, you don't have this one. Because if you're unfamiliar with it, it's a 9mm carbine. It folds entirely in half. Now, previously, you would have to take off your optics. You don't have to anymore. That's one of the upgrades with the Gen 3. You don't have to detach your optics to fold it in half. The simple twist and fold motion of the rotating fore-end, it's patent pending. You can twist it in either direction. It folds the Gen 3 right in half and just as quickly and easily deploys it too. But they've continued to fine-tune this innovative and reliable platform. So they have some other simple upgrades as well that kind of push it over the top. The upgraded aluminum trigger, redesigned mechanics, you got a light and 5-pound pull. You also have upgraded action. There's even a new chamber indicator as well. And of course, made in America, family-owned Kel-Tec values at their best. To learn more about this Sub 2K, and it looks like Sub 2000, Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Now, you should have said undocumented, but that's not a big thing, okay? What's the big thing about
Dana? I actually wasn't even going to ask about that. I was just going to ask more about the moment, but you do think that he should have said undocumented? That wasn't going to be my question.
Well, we usually say undocumented. Uh-huh. He said illegal. I don't think it's a big deal.
Wow. Well, up to now, you thought it was a big deal, Nancy Pelosi. My goodness. Yeah, she was way up past her bedtime, too. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You are in tune with The Dana Show. And from my friend Dana Lash, Lord willing, she'll be back on Monday. Man, I can't wait to hear. Dana's been writing all sorts of stuff online. Go check it out. But, man, she's going to take some of that. She'll be swinging for the fences on Monday, I'm sure. Get your rest, my friend. Look forward to hearing from you next week. Yeah, well, Nancy Pelosi on the lefty communist Marxist cable shows out there. Man. That's not a big deal. Like, don't look at this. Don't listen to this. Of course it's a big deal. Of course, you know, it's a big deal to the left. It has been for the longest time. I mean, we go back like, what is it, like maybe 2 decades? I want to say time goes by so quickly, but I'm all this complaining and belly aching. So, oh, you're insensitive and you're racist, or you know, referring to them as no human is illegal. Of course not, you idiot. But there is such, it's part of federal code, federal law. Illegal alien is the actual proper term. I had a friend, I want to call him a friend because he's a longtime listener. I don't know him, he knows me. He listened to talk radio here in South Texas. Well, he said, he left a message. Hey, Serge, it's illegal alien, illegal alien. I worked at Border Patrol for the longest time. It's illegal. Of course it is. That's the legal term, illegal alien. I don't care what Alejandro Mayorkas doing the most minimum thing possible to enforce border law. So we want to respect the dignity of the migrants and the people who cross the border. It's illegal alien. And of late, you know, I'll take illegal immigrant because people are supposed to wait their turn in line. They're supposed to go through a process. It is expensive. It takes a long time. I mean, my producer, Freddie, here in South Texas, tell me a story of someone he knows. Waited over more than two decades, to legally get, you know, wait for permission from the State Department, process all the paperwork, you know, pay all the attorneys. You want to fix the immigration system. Yes, we need to fix the immigration system to speed up legal immigration. I'm in favor of legal immigration to the benefit of our nation. We need individuals who are going to be contributing to the economy. Get some skill sets in here that we need. Get some professors in here at medical institutions, high-tech institutions. Get that skill set in here to teach our kids, to advance the economy, to advance our nation, to protect our nation, for the benefit of our nation. That's the whole idea. And to have all these millions and millions of people cross the border illegally, jump the line, abuse the system, is beyond unacceptable, right? And it's dangerous these days. Say her name, Laken Riley. We're going to be saying a lot more names. Many, we've said them before. Americans, young people, beautiful people, children, murdered, maimed, assaulted. And then it's going to get worse. We got a bunch of criminals that came in with the tsunami of humanity that's crossed the border illegally the past 3 years and change under Joe Biden. I think they were crossing at the very beginning with campaign shirts from Joe Biden. Go look up for those pictures. As soon as Donald Trump left the White House, Joe Biden came in and started doing a 180 in all these immigration executive orders from Donald Trump that secured the border, shut down the border, had Mexico bend a knee and listen and participate and keep the illegal immigrants south of the border because, you know, they're the first asylum country that's supposed to be addressing. Man, they were even offering jobs in Mexico. Did you know that? They were offering jobs to some of these illegal immigrants crossed into their border illegally, were waiting their term to enter the U.S. under Donald Trump. waiting their turn. Mexico was offering jobs at the international manufacturing facilities in the industrial north of Mexico, in Monterrey, Mexico, Saltillo, Mexico. We call them maquilas. Maquilas is a word for factory. These international manufacturers from Europe, from the U.S., from Asia, that set up shop in the industrial north of Mexico, part of free trade, part of NAFTA, or whatever they call it these days. Under Donald Trump, they were offering jobs to these individuals. Oh, no, but, you know, really nobody took those jobs. The U.S. was where they wanted to cross, and they were willing to wait by the tens and tens and tens of thousands just south of my border here at Starbase Brownsville here in McAllen, Texas. South of the border, Laredo's, all these communities, by the tens of thousands of these, you know, migrants hoping to cross the border into the, under Donald Trump, they stayed down there. Because Mexico, because Donald Trump forced Mexico to play ball. Say, yo, Mexico, all that stuff that's coming in here as a result of this free trade agreement, I'm going to start slapping 5% tariff if you don't participate the next 30 days. After that, if you don't help me hold all these asylum seekers that are using, you know, all sorts of, you know, credible fear excuses, I'm going to charge you 15%. And then I'm going to charge you 25%. All Mexico City, they were playing game. They played along with Donald Trump. And they even sent the military to the southern border to try to protect their border from the tsunami wave of humanity trying to cross the border into Mexico as well. Joe Biden undid all of that. And now we have the mess that we have, and Joe Biden has blood on his hands. Because of this human tsunami and the small portion. I mean, if you take, how many would you say? 6, 8, maybe by the end of his presidency, because we have another, 2 million more crossing within the fiscal year, 10 million illegal immigrants. So give me 1% of that, or half of 1%. How many thousands upon thousands and thousands are individuals with criminal records that have been caught, that had warrants for their arrest, that were on the terrorist watch list? And those are the ones who were caught. What about those who got away? And they tried, and on purpose, they ran around Border Patrol, tried to get away, as Border Patrol is being the welcome wagon these days. God bless all you guys who are working for Border Patrol. Man, I pray for you. God give you guys wisdom and patience, and I just feel so bad for you, because the Border Patrol has been reduced to the American welcome wagon, right? And no wonder they're having trouble. They had trouble before finding enough people working at Border Patrol to work for Border Patrol, recruiting people for Border Patrol. They're having a worse time now, and people that are retiring early saying, I'm out of here. You guys hang in there. Hang on, folks. You guys at Border Patrol, hang on another 10 months. Got to clear the election. I hope and pray America doesn't vote stupidly, and we get Donald Trump back in there and get an America First mindset on everything, starting with immigration. Let's correct this. Call Mexico City and correct this again. Oh, my goodness. So much to talk about related to the speech last night. Also, this morning, we got the latest jobs report, 275,000 jobs, stronger than expected, blah, blah, blah. But, of course, a sidebar mention, we're going to correct last month's numbers for you. And by 100 and, like, I think it was like 130, 140,000. Like, really? By that much? You're shaving from the big, strong report last month? I don't believe any of these numbers. I have a friend of mine, Tim Snyder, going to be joining me later in the show to talk about how all this manipulation of the numbers, and I think they're doing it on purpose just to try to manipulate the economy in favor of Joe Biden and in favor of the Democrats. That's coming up on the Dana Show. Also, a conversation with Gerard Felitti with Lawfare Project on the campaign speech by Joe Biden coming up late in the show. Let me try to clear some other information here real quick. Oh, yeah, I promised you this yesterday. Well, Super Tuesday, you know, for the 16 states participating Super Tuesday, and that's in the rearview mirror now. And don't forget, as I was telling you yesterday, this is a process that I hope those of y'all who love our country, who love America, and even some of y'all who, and I would challenge, some of y'all who are who refuse to ever vote Republican, you wouldn't be caught dead voting Republican. I think you want to go to your grave as a Democrat. I don't know, maybe it's because you want to vote after you die, but okay, I got you. Look, the present incarnation of the Democrat Party is not the JFK Party. It's not the LBJ Party. It's a bunch of crazies and radicals. Let me give you an example. Look, you want to go to the county convention for the Democrats, go. wherever you are. Because for many states, now that we cleared the primary, the Super Tuesday thing, coming up, like for many places, it's a week from this coming weekend, or maybe you already have it next week. The schedule's different depending on the state, depending on the Republican Party, depending on the Democrat Party. I'm talking specifically to the Democrats. You refuse to vote Republican. Okay, I got you. Fine. By tradition, my daddy was a Democrat, my grandpa's a Democrat. Fine. Go. Because your voice is needed. If you're listening to this show, The Dana Show, you are by nature. See, you are on the same frequency because you're willing to stick around and listen to all this liberty-minded, America-loving, you don't want to call it this, but make America great, America first conversation that's taking place. So you're on the same frequency. You can't agree with it. I don't expect you to agree 100% with what Dana says. I don't expect you to agree 100% with what I say. We never do. I mean, that's even families. I mean, husband and wife, bicker about the little things, kids with their parents. Never, ever will we reach 100% agreement on whatever it is. That's just the way life is. But I encourage you, I challenge you. You're working for a living. Maybe you're retired. Get your America-loving butt to the county convention. Especially if you're a Democrat, especially if you listen to this program, especially if you love America, especially if you want to, you know, you're inclusive and accepting and you're not religious. And, you know, when I start bringing up issues about God and Dana starts talking about God, and all, oh, you kind of feel uncomfortable. That will irk you. Okay, fine. It's okay. I don't want to hurt you. I'm not going to lay off on that. But you're more traditionalist. You love America. You love the red, white, and blue. Maybe you're a veteran family. You're a Democrat. Go to the county convention. I challenge you. Because when you show up, you will see the miscreants, the revolutionaries. You will hear from the Marxists and the socialists, who more than likely now dominate the political movement in your county. You may have voted for like a local judge, maybe a local law enforcement, JP, you're on the Democrat side, you belong to a Democrat market. Fine, but go. I challenge you. You love America? You want liberty and individual freedom and market activity? You want less taxation? All those things. I would probably call you a Republican, but it's okay. It's okay. You don't want that. Go to the convention. See, your voice is needed to, in my opinion, start the process of saving your party at the local level and then at the state level, and hopefully someday at the national level. We need more ideas. We need more people participating. We have a minute number of individuals that are participating in the electoral process. Let me show you how they're trying to hide this craziness from you. Here in Texas, Republican side. Republican Party put a bunch of issues on the ballot. Choose all your local candidates all across the state of Texas. And then how about these 9, 10, 11 proposals, propositions. See, those things like lower taxation, no property tax, school vouchers, closed primary, a lot of conservative ideas that were expressed. And the Republican primary in Texas, that was at the very end of the ballot. The Democrats didn't have any of that. The Democrats chose their candidates all across the state of Texas, the local candidates for judge, for county commission, da-da-da-da-da. But they didn't have any issues. Why? Because the state and the National Party, they don't want you as an America-loving individual, as a Democrat. You will die a Democrat. They don't want you to know how crazy they are. So today, the issues for them would be, I don't know, you name it. Let's ban certain rifles, you know, or as they call assault weapons. Oh, let's, you know, do you support trans books, cartoons, and little kids' books? They must be in all elementary schools. We need to do diversity, acceptance, trans shows in front of children. Allow those trans people to read books at all school libraries. Democrats don't want to put issues because they're the ones that are supporting hormone suppression injection on children, sex change surgery for children. Those are the issues that they champion these days. That's the social and cultural upheaval. We need to support trans care, gender affirmation for children. We need to support the migrant community in Texas and our county. They need to be sanctuary communities. They don't put that on there. That's what they believe. That's what they champion. And you as a Democrat, that's what you're supporting with your vote. Go to the convention and say something. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas.
If you're tired of just garbage coffee, and I tell you, after we went to Italy and I was having like great Italian espresso, I literally can only drink Black Rifle coffee now coming back because it is so good and it doesn't have a bougie price tag either, which is what I appreciate. You can also get it delivered fresh to your door with no shipping fees. You lose nothing, literally nothing, by being a member of the Black Rifle Coffee Club. When you join, you choose whatever roast or roasts, plural, you want, your frequency of shipment, and have it sent right to your door for free. And you can get 30% off your first subscription order using code DANA. This is premium coffee for premium people who love America premiumly, which we just made up that word right now. But they have great roast profiles. I've told you my favorite one, Tactus Squatch, is my jam right now. But I also have been enjoying some Silencer Smooth on a Sunday morning. But you join that Black Rifle Coffee Club because you can also get kettles and mugs and everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. And choose your roast frequency of shipment, and it shows up when you want it to on your doorstep. Free shipping. You never run out of coffee. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and join the Black Rifle Coffee Club today. Get 30% off your first month using code Dana. Start saving money on high quality coffee roasted right here in the US of A. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my buddy Dana Lash. Getting a VIP ticket for the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit City, they say it's going to be real expensive. Asked my producer here in studio. He said, oh, about $100 would be real expensive. Yeah, ticket prices, $550 to $5,500 for sending around for, 3 days to be drafted. And, of course, the price of the ticket providing different amenities in Detroit. Man, you talk about real deal fans. Check this out from Kansas City. Individuals who suffered frostbite in Kansas City in January might need amputations. There's a medical center in Kansas City saying 70% of individuals who got frostbite during, like, let's say, attending a football game, staying there the entire game, they've been scheduled for amputation procedures. Aldi supermarkets chain Aldi going to add 800 discount grocery stores across the nation by 2028. Oh, and this is big day of mourning for people that are into manga. I hope I said that right. Japanese manga artist, creator of Dragon Ball, Akira Toriyama, has passed away, age 68. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with The Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In fact, the snack companies think you won't notice if they change the size of the bag and put a hell of a lot fewer, same size bag, put fewer chips in it. No, I'm not joking. It's called shrinkflation.
Actually, you should be admitting, maybe he has a career in leftist, communist, Marxist stand-up. Maybe he could go work over the, what is it, the South by Southwest Cultural Festival up in very weird Austin, Texas. Yeah, Joe Biden last night being a comedian. Inflation, shrinkflation? No, it's actually called Bidenflation, sir. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show. And for my friend Dana Lash, and Lord willing, she'll be back with us on Monday, which, by the way, next week is Texas week for spring break. I know many universities, many schools they're out. This is one of the destination points, by the way. This studio here in Mission, Texas, Mission, McAllen, Edinburgh area, we are just right down the street, right down the highway from Starbase. Elon Musk is our neighbor. And in fact, I'm telling you this because next week for the gang that comes to Texas, to South Padre Island. See, that's me, South Padre. You hear South Padre Island? Yeah, that's us right here, KURV, Dana Show, radio affiliate. Yeah, we broadcast to Starbase, South Padre, all this deep South Texas area. There's a lot happening down here. And the smart people with some smart money, they're discovering this region. of the country. So we got Elon Musk over there next week, next Thursday, in fact. They put a county edict. They're going to shut down certain roads and access to Boca Chica Beach. Starbase, SpaceX, next Thursday, put it on the calendar. All you space nerds, it's spring break time. You're trying to figure out, shall we go to Miami? You know, they're doing more family stuff over there. Go to Florida, which, by the way, let's see. Health warning, spring breakers, Miami, Florida, popular destination. I thought I'd mention this. Florida, I love you. Let me just say, there's a small measles outbreak out there. And look, I'm just repeating what the doctors are saying. University of Texas saying there's a small measles outbreak out there somewhere. So just something to think about. I don't want to make a big deal out of that. I thought I'd put that out there. So you're trying to choose between Florida and Texas, South Padre Island, Texas. Come on down. Next Thursday, if everything works out, we got putting everything in line so that our neighbor Elon Musk can try for the third time to send that big whopper of a rocket ship into space. He's just tried it a couple of times, had to self-destruct because, you know, things were a little off. But maybe this time, third time will be a charm. Next Thursday is when Elon Musk is going to launch his big old rocket into space. And it's quite a sight. Man, you can hear the thunder of those massive engines. How many Raptor engines did he have? Like 35 or something, 33? Ooh, you can hear that for miles and miles and miles. You can feel the vibration of the engine as it's taking off. And that'll be part of the fun if you come and enjoy spring break at South Padre Island near Starbase, right across the water. There it is, at Starbase. You can see that beautiful launch. And any spring breakers will take that in next week. Let me see what else is here. And the category of news. Supporters of former presidential candidate Nikki Haley are more likely to vote for Joe Biden over Donald Trump. Thank you, Emerson College. How much money did you spend on that poll? Yeah, they're called rhinos for a reason. And as principled as they might tell you that they are, we can't vote for Orange Man. We can't vote for such an ogre. We can't vote for such a racist xenophobe. Well, all these mental midgets that refuse to listen to any reason, and obviously, and I would call them unprincipled, and I might be offending some of y'all right now by saying this, but what is it that you fight for? What is it that you want? You want America first, or you want America last? Because that's what we have right now. You want to defend the life of the unborn, or not? You want to defend your Second Amendment rights, or not? Do you want to preserve America, America first, or not? That's the. I know that the vehicle for this is maybe an individual that you just hate, and you've been told to hate him. And monkey see, monkey do. You really have not taken the time to think for yourself. But that's what we have. It's either that, or President Sleeper, or as my radio son Zach would say, President Ambien, representing all the wrong ideas. All these Nikki Haley people—they're a bunch of Democrats. All these Nikki Haley people are a bunch of rhinos. All these Nikki Haley people are a bunch of never Trumpers. That's all they are. But they're called Democrats. So, yeah, Emerson College wasting money on that poll. I could have told you that. And immigration side, well, I'll save this for a little later. Let me get into some numbers right now. Oh, and by the way, this weekend is like I mentioned the annual South by Southwest Festival in very weird, very liberal, very leftist Austin, Texas. They're having some trouble out there because some of the supporters for this are some defense contractors, and you got some artists that have decided to avoid this festival this year because, you know, defense contractors, some of them are providing money for the South by Southwest Festival in Austin. Okay, so let's look at the numbers from D.C. Very strong jobs numbers, but hey, the ones from last month were revised big time, and the month before, big time as well. So are we supposed to believe these numbers? Yes or no? Go ahead, Steve. From MatadorEconomics.com, my buddy, expert in the energy sector and all things economy, Tim Snyder. Let's start with a jobs report, Tim. It was strong this morning, but then they went back to their recent strong report from last month. Oh, let's shave off another 100,000 some odd numbers from that big number last month. So you think they're going to do that next month with the one that just... the big fat number they released today?
I tell you what's frustrating, Sergio, and it's great to be with you again. What really concerns me is the fact that 10 out of the last 12 months, they've had to do a revision downward on the numbers. That, you know, I made this comparison earlier on another show, and that is, you know, if you miss the number, you miss the question. Okay, that's 1 month, you got the answer wrong. You know, it's like taking a test and you got the answer wrong, you get minus 10 points if there's 10 questions. The problem is if you continue to do this for 10 out of 12 months, you're going to fail the course. And the U.S. Labor Department is continuing to create distrust in government numbers while they give us a number and take it back. Let me give you an example. Last month, we expected 353,000, or we expected, the Labor Department expected the economy to have created 180,000 jobs. That number came in at 353,000 jobs. Made the stock market go crazy thinking, oh my gosh, you know, the economy is as strong as anything we've ever seen. Problem is, today they revised that down from 353 to 229. And then they went back, and here's the kicker. They went back in the December numbers and revised those numbers down.
My goodness.
From 333,000 to 296,000. That's 160, if my numbers off the top of my head are correct, 161,000 jobs that they had to track back on. My problem is this. If the government can't give us numbers that we can count on as we measure our, as a business person, as an economist, I look at the effects of those jobs numbers on the economy, and they can't be trusted. What is a company to do?
Yeah. As far as capital expenditures and investments, how about the market?
Yes, sir.
Investors and all this capital, they like, what do we do? Do we take our money out? Do we put it in? So did you get a chance to dig deeper into the weeds, specific categories? Where did these, should I call them fake numbers? Or what categories, which categories, poof, disappeared? Where did the adjustment from 350 down to 229, 333 down to 296 for the past 2 months, which lines disappeared or were erased and readjusted lower? Do you know?
They don't give you that data. We have the data that, where the jobs came from, like, for instance, this report that came in today at 275,000. We saw that the biggest contributor was healthcare, and construction was a pretty good contributor as well. But when they revise numbers, they just give you the revised number. They don't say, we take X number of jobs out of housing. We take X number of jobs out of the medical sector. We take X number of jobs out of government. They just revise the number down, which really frustrates people. Now, here's the thing that really, you know, take this to a little bit deeper level, and that is that if we expected the Labor Department to post 200,000 jobs and we got 275,000 jobs, the normal person would anticipate, oh, well, then the unemployment rate should have gone down, except for the unemployment rate went from 3.7% to 3.9%, okay? And I know I'm getting into the weeds here, but I want people to understand how we look at this and why there's cause for a concern. If the labor force participation, or if the unemployment rate rose, even though we've had higher than expected jobs numbers, then the offset on that should be in the labor force participation rate, which did not change at all. So the numbers don't add up. Not only do we see numbers that don't add up, we know that these numbers will be revised downward next month or the following month when the damage has already been done, or the impression of a much stronger economy is woven into the fabric of a not as strong economy. And that's what concerns people.
Tim Snyder, MatadorEconomics.com. So the job numbers, again, strong this morning. Oh, but we adjusted the numbers down. You know, the strong numbers we told you last month, we adjusted those numbers down like big time, 100,000. Oh, and by the way, no mention of this on the news. Like Tim Snyder's telling me, the December numbers were also shaved. They were taken lower. And then you got the unemployment number
right
there. You know what it is, Tim? It just so that I'm, let me hang on. Where's my
tinfoil hat. Let me put that on right now. It's a conspiracy. You got a bunch of these bean counters, Commerce Department, other departments. You know what they're doing? We were supposed to see a cut in interest rates right now because we would have employment issues right now and the economy slowing down enough to shave the price of money so that way to spur the economy a little more. So I'm thinking it's a conspiracy. They're revising the number so that the economy is always not as hot as we expected and we got issues right now. Okay, let's lower the numbers again. Presto, just in time for the November election, you get a hot housing market, cheaper money, and put more money out there and buy yourself some votes. That's my conspiracy theory.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're absolutely right, Sergio. And that's the whole point, you know. And it's kind of like, you know, you've heard me say this a million times when I've been with you, and that is, you know, the old adage with economists, liars figure and figures lie. And, you know, somebody's cooking the books here. I hate to say it, but and that's being said, you know, all over the news today. They're, everybody's looking at these numbers going, wait a minute. You know, this is not right. This makes no sense. You can't follow. As my wife was a CPA before she passed away, bless her heart. She may be a CPA now up in heaven. Who knows? but you know, one of the things she used to always tell me is create and always follow an audit trail. And there is no audit trail to be able to trace these numbers, especially when they're harum scarum changing them every 1, 2, or 3 months.
As far as the Biden speech, I suppose it could be worse. Could have been worse. That's the optimistic attitude I could take. You know, he's pausing LNG exports, but executive orders doing other things. At least he didn't call for the complete stop on all oil exploration and removal of all permits. At least that didn't happen last night.
I'll tell you that last night's yell fest really was off-putting. I felt yelled at during that whole supposedly State of the Union address. That's number one. And I'll borrow this from my friend Jody Arrington, but you know, the old saying, you know, the wrestling deal, let's get ready to rumble. You know, I heard a tagline this morning, let's get ready to mumble.
To mumble.
I'm telling you, there was more mumbling last night than I've heard in a very long time.
Big hug to you, my friend. Thank you so much, always, for joining me on the program. My friend Tim Snyder from MatadorEconomics.com. Look for his newsletter. You are in tune with The Dana Show, coming to you from South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You want to say hi online. The email, it's our affiliate, it's KURV. It's Sergio, S-E-R-G-I-O, at KURV.com, and also on X and Twitter, at Sergio Talk. This is The Dana Show.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Good evening. If I were smart, I'd go home now.
if only we were so lucky, Mr. President. Yeah, you'd go home now, not come back. Maybe call Donald Trump to come over, take over for you. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for my friend Dana Lash. You want to say hi online? Use X, my neighbor over here, Elon Musk, down the street at Starbase, at Sergio Talk. Well, they finally did it over at the Republican National Committee. They got new leadership. Man, you guys got a lot of homework to do. RNC has voted. So Michael Whatley, North Carolina, he's the new chairman. I guess he did a good job in that state. And Laura Trump, we got a little bit of family in there, and she's the co-chair. All I know, you guys got a lot of money you need to raise. And, you know, as a former Republican chairman here in Deep South Texas, you got to raise money. You got to get your teams together. You got to get your committees together. And you got about 40-some-odd swing districts you need to fight for and about a half dozen swing states. Go get to work. All right, Steve, well, let's do some Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, this note from Miami. They arrested a guy who held, and I had to read deeper into this thing to figure out, who was holding a guy who was dressed as a woman, transgender, right? The report says, held a woman for ransom at gunpoint. It was a guy dressed as a woman. See, they did something, they got busy, did something, there was a sex act, and he found out that he was pretending to be a she. Anyway, called a friend. They called her friend, his friend, and we're holding that individual for $200. And anyway, he's in custody. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're in tune to The Dana Show.
I'm fired.
I kind of wish sometimes there was cognitive.
I kind of wish sometimes. You hear that? I kind of wish sometimes I was cognitively impaired. Yes, that's the president of the United States of America, sad to say. You know. And that dude wished upon that star a long, long time ago. And you know how it is, they say, man, if you have to deny it, well, that's what you are, right? You have to say you're not that. Of course you are. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and I'm in for my friend Dana Lash. As always, an honor to be with you. You want to say hi online. Sergio at KURV.com. That's the little news talker here in South Texas, just down the street from Star Base. And don't forget, next week, Elon Musk is going to launch his big, humongous, largest rocket in the world for a third time. See if he can punch a hole in the atmosphere and send it into orbit. That's next week if you want to do spring break here at South Padre Island, Texas. I'm just saying. All right, so a little bit more on the speech last night. And I think, which probably was the highlight of the speech all night long. Yes, you know, you went, but we kind of covered through the show already. And by the way, in case you missed any of the program, and I know some of the affiliates only carry a few hours of the program, producer Steve does a great job. He will condense everything, put the podcast version online, all the different platforms that carry podcasts, listen to The Dana Show online. That's what I do on the weekend. I just try to catch up with Dana, see what's going on with her, and catch up with the world and make sure I'm up to speed. And I'm cleaning medical equipment on the weekend. There we go. Listen to Dana. So catch the podcast version. And by the way, a reminder to all the wonderful, I wish I knew where we all are right now as far as all the affiliates, but like dozens and dozens, hundreds of affiliates nationwide. God bless you all. Consider running The Dana Show live. Dana's up to speed on everything, man. You got breaking news, stuff that's taking place. Boom, boom, boom. She's on top of it. She'll report it to you as it's happening. It's a great show. Number one, that would be noon to 3 Eastern, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. Number one midday show in talk radio. She's the queen. Is my buddy Dana Lash. God bless you, Dana. Love you. You and Chris and all the crew. Even Kane. Somebody needs to love Kane, our producer. Love you, brother. All right, so the highlights after all the mess, you know, Joe Biden would not have said the name Laken Riley. He never did say the name Laken Riley. He said Lincoln Riley. But thanks to Marjorie Taylor Greene, she demanded that he say her name. Well, at least attempted, he messed it up. In that case, he went and confirmed, but conservatives and folks who want border security, he confirmed the whole mess that he has exacerbated. He created this mess. It reminded me, it's like I was listening to that audio, him saying, when he was admitting that illegals, which that's like the only thing he got right last night. He said illegals. He said killed by an illegal. He said her name wrong. Her name's Laken Riley, not Lincoln, but he said she was killed by an illegal. That's the one word he got right last night. But then he goes on to admit, you know, these people are gaming the system. The illegals are crossing and staying here because they're gaming the asylum system. And they stay here 5, 6, 7 years for a long, long time. They're not going to get their case heard. He admitted it. He just doesn't want to do anything about it. That's another little bit of genius that came out of his mouth yesterday. So he goes into, you know, class warfare and billionaires paying their fair share. The standard playbook for all these Marxists and leftist class. It's envy. It's a politics of envy. Goes into all that, the standard playbook for the Democrats. In my opinion, the highlight, and even Republicans agreed. It was Cut 14, Steve. That was the closing of everything that he did. Cut 14.
Let me close with this. Yay!
That's the highlight. From last night.
I know you don't want to hear anymore, Lindsay, but I got to say a few more things.
Okay. Go check out the condensed version of the show and the other cuts we played earlier. If you want, if not, it's okay. Go on, enjoy your life. Today is Friday, since some of this plays on the weekend, which, by the way, I was telling the affiliate, consider running the show live. or if, you know, somebody will carry it on the weekend as well. Well, today, Friday, is International Women's Day. And I was asking around, it's just one day, right? So it's a good thing it's just one day, because they'll shut up about it for tomorrow, right? But it's International Women's Day. So please note, if you're a Christian nationalist, American flag-waving woman, I don't think you need to apply to this thing. I'm going to celebrate International Women's Day. Yeah, I know I'm going to get some... And I love it when I get some hate every now and then. It just makes me feel all fuzzy and warm. And it was a long time since I got some hate mail when I'm doing the show. And I'm probably going to get some here. Oh, you're misogynist. You hate women. Shut up already. I'm going to celebrate International Women's Day with the funniest joke that I've seen on the internet in the longest time. I want to say thank you to my producer, my friend, Freddie, for this. So there's this joke on the internet. It was on Twitter, I believe. I asked my brother why he calls his wife 12. He calls her 12. Well, my brother said, because she doesn't cook, doesn't clean, doesn't do anything. That's the funniest joke I've heard in days. Come on, you know you want to laugh. Look, if you can't laugh at something like that, the terrorists have won. I'm not talking about the Islamic fascists. I'm talking about like the culture, cancel culture terrorists have won already. And for anybody out there just squirming out there, I know Dana would laugh her butt off at that joke. She hates all these. It's like, why do we have something like this? And by the way, where's the International Men's Day? How about the contribution of men, the engineers, the physicians, the inventors, the industrialists? It's just one race. It's the human race. And all these divisions, all parsing all these little different groups. How are we ever supposed to advance if we keep dividing, subdividing, and parsing humanity? Like, for any hypocrites going, oh no, Serge, that's misogynistic, that's hateful, that's so stereotypical. Any hypocrites on the left, all butthurt about all this. May I ask and remind you, where are you when it comes to really defending women? Like, where are you on behalf of American girls physically beaten by boys? Boys pretending to be girls. Confused boys, confused by their mamas, or confused by, more than likely, their mamas confusing them. And they're like, oh, I wanted a little girl. My boy's a little girl. My boy needs to play a little girl sport. And these little boys that are stronger, they have bigger muscles, they're just bigger, taller, wider. They get into basketball games, and they get into volleyball games, and wrestling, and swimming, and they just beat up on, especially when it's a contact sport like volleyball, spiking the ball right in the face of a young girl. Basketball, coming down, going for a rebound, and just, literally just landing and beating up another little girl. Where are you on behalf of these girls? Girls' sports, women's sports. They're getting beaten by all these boys physically, not only in the sport, but also physically. They're getting hurt as a result of these competitions. One of the most famous cases in Texas, and this one like 6-7 years ago, wrestling, one of the top wrestling competitions, the state competition, won by a boy pretending to be a girl. All the crazy leftist hypocrites, they would get all offended by, you know, jokes. Like that one I gave at the beginning is... Where are you on behalf of women and girls that are forced to accept boys or men disrobing completely, exposing the, you know what, like what Dana says, the Frank and Beans, in the restroom, in the dressing room, in the shower, and being told to shut up. Just, like, keep your place, right? It's the modern leftist lunatic version. A woman should know her place. A girl should know her place. And she should be silent about this. Just accept it. Deal with it, right? Well, it's International Women's Day. I mean, what else comes to mind? Oh, that's right. The Middle East. And Africa. There's several cases that are just beyond disgusting. Where are all these feminists, these new feminists, all these defenders of women, all these hypocrites on the left, all these cable channels, all these individuals sitting in these round tables International Women's Day here. Why International Women's Day? Here in America, women under fire because, you know, they won't say it this way, but it's the truth. They're under fire, these women. Women in America are being oppressed because they can't kill babies before they're born. That's the reality. It's abortion, right? Also referred to by leftists as health care for women. Abortion is not health care. Abortion is murder. And many times the murder, the killing of little girls. For example, in China, remember the whole one-child policy, which I think they augmented, but in China and other places that had restrictive growth of families, they wanted boys. They wanted the family name, the strength to continue. And to the tune, Lord knows how many millions upon millions through these decades, how many millions of little girls, little baby girls were killed before they're born. What are the voices on the left on behalf of those girls being killed in utero, being sliced up in utero here and through the years in places like China that restricted the size of family? From the Middle East, from Africa, where are all these leftists, these crazy lunatic leftists? They're saying that America is awful, Donald Trump is awful, the conservatives are awful, Republicans are awful when it comes to women's rights and reproductive rights, so-called reproductive rights. Where are you guys on behalf of girls, many times prepubescent babies, just precious little ones crying, begging their parents and mom and dad who need to be protected and sheltered, these prepubescent babies begging their parents, no, don't give me up as a bride for this strange old man who just bought me. These little girls sold off into marriage to some old pervert in the Middle East, some old pervert in some African enclaves. And where are all these champion of women fighting for women's rights? Because, you know, that's what the Democrats do, right? They champion women's rights. Where are all you clowns? On behalf of the Afghan women and Afghan girls, Joe Biden abandoned. He left for the Taliban and any other crazy Islamic radicals to eventually kill a bunch of these girls going to school, bomb schools that are full of little girls, declare that women would no longer be allowed to go to college. Where are y'all hypocrites? That's what I have to say on this International Women's Day. What's stupid observation? Because none of this will be properly addressed by all these panels on these leftist talk shows. Think about it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
It's Cut 24, Steve. Let me play that here in the headlines real quick, buddy. Go ahead and play Anna Navarro.
I'm not about retribution. I'm not about revenge. That's not me. I think that binary choice reminding us over and over again. All I can tell you is that by the time this thing ended, I was in my hotel room like all of those Democrats where they're going, 4 more years.
Yeah.
4 more years.
Yeah, that's leftist token Latina. Anna Navarro. I've said for the longest time that woman out there only masquerading as a Republican. She hates America. She's a disgrace. I can't believe she has a national state. Anyway, I got good news on the headlines. Hey, 48% of a new Fox poll this week, 48% of Latinos leaning Trump, saying that they're going to go conservative. That's good. Man, that is a far cry from the Bushy years of 33, 35, 37%. I think the highest watermark was 39, 40% Republican support among Latinos in our country. That was like Texas. But we got 48%, according to polling data. I know we still need to wait for the votes to cook. And more blacks, too. More fellow Americans, our black community, waking up to the fact that they're still black if they don't vote Democrat. So good for them. Keep it going. We need to grow that conservative base, America-loving base in this country. Let's see what else. As I mentioned, the Republican National Committee has voted in Michael Whatley, and he's the new chairman for the Republicans, RNC, and Ms. Laura Trump, she's the co-chair. They got a lot of homework to do, a lot of homework to do to take care of business. They need a ground game, and they need to raise a lot of money to win. That's the whole idea. It's an easy layup, people. Economy, border,
crime. It's an easy way. You need to start carpet bombing advertising on the smartphones before people open up YouTube videos, before they open up their stupid Facebook videos, or even the Chinese Communist Party TikTok while it's still alive. Open up those videos. Connect the dots for them, people. Let's see here. One of the channels, there's Max. I think it's like Cinemax. Set to start cracking down on password sharing this year. New study showing a single dose of LSD can provide lasting and anxiety relief. New report from the FDA. Apple rolling out its latest update to its virtual reality operating system. And here's some good news, because people are not buying the electric vehicles. Dodge is going to keep its Charger and Challenger gas-powered models on the market. Way to go. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Meanwhile, the Chinese Communist Party is undercutting America's workers. China is buying up our farmland, spying on our military installations, and spreading propaganda through the likes of TikTok. You see, the CCP knows that if it conquers the minds of our next generation, it conquers America.
Lawmaker Katie Britt with a Republican response. Voice sounds a little shakier than what it'd be on TV, but congrats to her, and thanks for bringing that up, by the way. So the Chinese are spreading propaganda through TikTok, and you got Joe Biden and crew and company. He's probably not. He has no idea what's going on. His people opening up a TikTok account. Lord knows what type of information they placed on there, on that TikTok account. In the meantime, you got lawmakers up in D.C., both sides of the aisle. They want to get rid of TikTok. They want to ban TikTok. Rightfully so. Do it. Thing is, you guys need to sit down and do committee hearings, longer committee hearings that you've done so far on this issue, because you want TikTok to divorce from the Chinese Communist Party owned ByteDance. But if the servers for the company, the information is still flowing into China, like, how are you going to prevent the central servers for TikTok and ByteDance that will continue likely to work with each other? How are you going to prevent all that? Man, you got to do some serious homework. If you wish for TikTok to survive somehow, if people showing up on K Street to, you know, with some envelopes full of money and trying to convince you to vote against it, how are you going to protect the country? So, yeah, the divorce has to be an electronic divorce. It's got to be based in the U.S. The servers have to be here. And all that, there's no way to get all that information that Americans have surrendered to ByteDance, to TikTok, the Communist Chinese Party. They own all industry in China. So you got Joe Biden with his own campaign for China online. You know, one of the standard questions that are asked every 4 years, I think this goes back to Reagan, right? Ask yourself, you know, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Remember that? I was laughing earlier. Somebody had posted. I was thinking this would be like a great Jeff Foxworthy joke. Remember all those, you might be a redneck if this, that, and the other? Well, you know, Jeff, this one might be a good one. You might be an illegal. And yeah, that's a proper word, because, hey, Joe Biden used it last night again. That's the real word, that we've used like forever. And about 20 years ago, we got all PC on this thing and started, you know, for the dignity of the migrants and the refugees. Oh, shut up already. They're illegal aliens. And these days, it's proper to say illegal immigrant. They're jumping ahead of the line. Jeff Foxworthy should be asking or saying a new joke. You might be an illegal if you're better off today than you were 4 years ago, right? That's the truth. Let me see what else I can share with you. Okay, so Uvalde, I need to get this one in. Families in Uvalde, Texas, the site of that school shooting, outraged this week by a new report from a consultant. This report presented to the city of Uvalde found no wrongdoing by police. An Austin police detective helping out with this report saying that Uvalde officers, Uvalde ISD police, followed procedure the day of the deadly shooting at Robb Elementary School and should not be held
accountable. My goodness. Because after all, whether we're following procedure, following protocol, it demanded that they, you know, sit tight and wait. Because yeah, after all, it wasn't their kids being shot, right? More reaction to the State of the Union speech. Oh, I don't think I introduced myself. Come back. I'm Sergio Sanchez. I'm in for my friend Dana Lash. Lord willing, she'll be back with us on Monday. So let me go to a friend who every now and then I go to for political issues and law issues, from Lawfare Project, Gerard Felitti.
Boy, you had to stay up way late last night taking the State of the Union speech. From what I gather, cavalry ain't coming to save the border situation anytime soon. It was just a campaign speech last night. And some interesting moments as well. A little bit of bickering, shouting from the floor. Gerard Felitti, political commentator with Lawfare Project. He's senior counsel for that. Some of the interesting events. One was, I believe, the father of one of the fallen from Afghanistan who had something to say to Joe Biden, had to be dragged away by Capitol Police. I think they said he was arrested. I don't know about that. But anyway, just want to get your thoughts on how animated it got last night.
Oh, it certainly got animated a few times, but that just shows that people are really worked up by what they see as a president who is not always receptive to the needs of his people and the concerns that people have, whether it's the fallen in Afghanistan or the border crisis. People were definitely animated. We've seen more of this over the last 2 years in State of the Union addresses, but this is really getting to a point that we've not seen anything quite like this before.
Even if he's not reelected, and I hope and pray that Donald Trump wins, we still got another 10 months of this administration, this incompetence taking place. The whole border situation, the fumbled, stumbling response on the part of Joe Biden. I don't know what point he was trying to make after Marjorie Taylor Greene called him out and said, say her name. Say her name. Talk about Laken Riley, this young woman that was killed by an illegal immigrant. He proved how disconnected he is and the real mess that he created on the border.
On the bright side, as you pointed out, he called this person what this is an illegal immigrant. It's not a undocumented migrant looking for a better life. These are people who come here illegally, many of whom engage in crime, and all of whom take up our economic resources. The fact that Joe Biden called it what it is, illegal, I have to give it to him. He's not been brainwashed by all this woke PC nonsense, but at the same time, he's not doing anything about it. So that's the disconnect right there. He recognizes it's a problem. He used the right term. But he's not doing anything to stop or punish or deter this illegal conduct. So he's showing in one sentence the failure of his administration.
Gerard Felitti with the Lawfare Project. I do not understand this mindset from the left. We haven't, for years now, I just don't understand this obsession with the feelings and the emotions. As they say, want to respect the dignity of, how about you respect the dignity of our nation, the future of our nation, our children, our communities. I don't understand this mindset. Nancy Pelosi afterwards, I don't know, some lefty channel out there sitting her down to say something. Oh, he called Joe Biden to task on it. And see, he didn't even use illegal immigrant. He said illegal, killed by an illegal. The way we used to refer to this a long time ago, and I don't know when it was, 20 years ago, maybe more, when they started getting all PC on this and started policing the language. At that point, boy, things really started going south when it came to illegal immigration in this nation.
Well, that's the thing. The use of language is intentional. When we're not happy with a message, we change the language to detract and distract from them from what it is. So you go from calling something illegal to calling them undocumented. To calling them. It's this rhetorical twist that does a lot of damage. We see this in the culture war overall. We see this with gender issues. We see this with abortion. It's no longer a matter of right and wrong. It becomes this twisted world in which right is put upside down. And when you see Nancy Pelosi, of all people, calling this stuff out, you wonder how badly we've gotten into this place where we can't even speak the truth anymore.
Donald Trump bad, Orange Man bad, campaign speech. There was one little gold nugget of information that Joe Biden threw out there that did not get legs. I'm waiting to see somebody bring it up. He's putting American young men and women, putting our treasure on the soil, on the ground, U.S. troops. They're at Gaza to try to provide some relief route from the sea. That's putting our men and women within some sniper rifle or maybe some bombs or terrorists. Hamas hates Israel. Hamas hates America. He's providing them more targets. This relief effort that was announced, it has gotten no comment whatsoever. This should be something that Arab countries are providing. But no, it has to put American soldiers on the ground. I think that's a huge issue.
I think you hit the nail on the head. This is one of the few things that really stuck out to me last night, actually, that I had tweeted about. The moment he's done talking about banning so-called assault weapons and large-capacity clips, he goes into talking about building a port in Gaza, which is, let's be realistic, that's never going to happen. This is a message to Netanyahu to enter a ceasefire or else. But that is such an asinine idea, just putting Americans at risk and interfering in a foreign country's policies. What would his response be if China were to come and say, well, we're going to build land bridges across the Rio Grande because all these poor Mexicans aren't able to make it across and we need to provide them with humanitarian relief? That's how idiotic this idea is. And the fact that he even says this at the State of the Union shows how out of touch he is with reality.
It's OTMs these days. It's other than Mexicans. Yeah. People from China. A lot of people from Central America, people coming in from Africa as well. They're coming in from all over the world, man, to the tune of millions of people under Joe Biden. And his response to this, to Laken Riley, you know, being called out and saying her name, and then fumbling the response, saying something like, well, you know, I've lost children. He's lost children before, had nothing to do with immigration, almost like trying to defend his argument by saying, well, it's like, well, she died and a lot of people die. So what? Wow. You could probably take that little snippet of that video and play it over and over again, and hopefully people wake up.
She died because of his failure to defend the border.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. And instead of apologizing, instead of showing contrition, instead of promising to change things, he makes this rambling comment, basically, people die, so what?
Yeah.
And that is offensive to the family, not just of not just of Ms. Riley, but of all Americans who are suffering this wave of this invasion, really, that's affecting the crime in our communities and costing us money, and it's just devastating to us. And that shows that, you know, he doesn't really care about the reality of what's going on.
Gerard Felitti with the Lawfare Project joining me. We're talking about the speech from Joe Biden last night, which is pretty much a campaign speech, and pointing to Donald Trump without saying his name, my predecessor, you know, with Vladimir Putin cozying up to him. You know, J6, democracy is threatened. What do Republicans need to say, and where do they need to say it in order to win? We got to get rid of this National Democrat Party leadership that is just bad for America these days.
No, Republicans need to double down on the economy, they need to double down on border, and they need to double down on the issues that parents who come out to vote care about, which is what's going on in schools and how this woke culture is negatively affecting our kids. That's going to drive voters. It has to be more than just pointing out that Biden is asleep at the wheel. It has to be policy ideas and how we are actually going to get our country back on track again. And Republicans can do that. They just have to get together and actually figure out the message that resonates and push it. And I think that that's a good chance of getting Biden out of the White House.
It's easy enough, you think, right? Swing states, you need to carpet bomb the advertising and all those messages. A swing congressional district, carpet bomb the advertising online, on the radio, and just get the message out. Connect the dots. But will they? They don't even have any money at the RNC right now to do any of this, to galvanize, to put the troops on the ground, to take care of business. I don't see the cavalry coming on the Republican side, because they are the ones that need to connect the dots. Donald Trump is alone trying to connect the dots with the American voters to see if they come over to him.
Well, in terms of fundraising, we're still pretty early. It's March, and we start to see a lot more pickup in donations coming at the end of April, in May, and into the summer. That's when things really pick up. And we know what the swing states are. It's going to be the same states as 2020, and that's really where the money is going to focus. So you don't need this huge war chest to fight contests in states you know you're either going to win or lose. You focus on those five states. You put money in there, and that money will be coming. People are seeing now who the candidates are, and they're fed up with Joe Biden. So this is all doable. We just need to get on track.
But unfortunately, we've seen the Republican leadership, or lack of Republicans, really stink when it comes to messaging, and I hope they get their act together. This is a wiffle ball. They could easily knock this one out of the park. And if they don't win come November, like, I don't think there's any hope for our nation. There's so many willfully ignorant people in this nation that still make excuses for all this craziness, and for Joe Biden, to the tune of millions, they will show up to vote come November. And that's what you have to overcome, all this ignorance.
That's why you're on the air. You have to cut through the ignorance, and we thank you for doing that.
They're not listening to me, dude. It's like you got to go to the music stations. You got to go online to all these YouTube channels. You got to reach those people where they're at and connect the dots. We need the money. We need the RNC. You got to do that online. You got to do that on the radio waves. And I hope it happens, buddy, for the sake of my children and grandchildren and the future of our nation. Gerard, thank you as always.
Thank you.
From the Lawfare Project, Senior Counsel Gerard Felitti. You're in tune to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez and from my friend Dana Lash. And they've changed up leadership over the Republican National Committee today. So they got Mr. Whatley, and you got one of a Trump family members, a co-chair. So Mr. Whatley from North Carolina, he's the leader. Ms. Laura Trump, she's the co-chair. All I know, and speaking, from my perspective as a former volunteer chairman for the Republicans, and I thank God for all the volunteers down here that open up a permanent office here in Deep South Texas on the U.S.-Mexican border, all the young people, young Republicans, and the women's groups, and the precinct chairs, all you people open up a permanent HQ to get people trained, raise money, and hit the ground. Work, work, work. It's the unsexy part of politics. It's a sweat equity. God bless all of you. As a former chairman of the Republicans down here, during the initial Trump years, 14 to 18, 2014, 2018, I hope that Mr. Whatley and company, they develop a game plan for victory and show it to the money bags, the people that have the money to fund the RNC and give them a couple hundred million, $300-400 million now, so that, put the confidence, show them the game plan to win, which means you need to carpet bomb advertising, connect the dots in the swing states and the swing districts like now. Register people to vote. Get the teams on the ground. Register people to vote and get the texting and the door knocking and get all that ground game going like now in the swing states and the swing districts. That's what it's going to take. It's still doable. You're shifting gears now. Let's put it into fifth gear quickly and hit the freeway and let's win. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, I'm stepping aside today because I have long promised to put the nominee and their plans for the RNC first. Winning the White House back is just too important for me to do otherwise. Huh. President Trump deserves to have the team he wants in place at the RNC.
Oh, thank you, Jesus, finally. Ronna McDaniel finally calling it quits. Thank you, Lord. I don't know, maybe the three ghosts of political past visited her overnight, but yeah, she's out. So we got new leadership over at the RNC. They decided on today. Bye-bye, Romney family, Romney influence, Bushy, traditional party influence. And yes, Donald Trump. Yeah, Ms. Laura Trump is part of the team. She's like the vice of the co-chair. I mean, they just give her something there. But Mr. Whatley is going to be heading up. They say he was a very successful in North Carolina. I have no idea who he is. But all I know is they got work to do. And I would hope and pray. Again, I'm from a very regional perspective, very far away regional perspective. You develop your game plan for victory. And then you go to the money bags. You get that money. And you put it in place. Get that team on the ground. You got Texas spring break next week. You guys doing spring break. Come to South Padre Island. Come down here. South Padre. Go see Elon Musk. Launches rocket next Thursday. Steve-O, stupid audio of the day. What you got, buddy?
One of the many cuts we didn't end up getting to today, but Biden was trying to make a thing about prescription drugs and made a little slip up here. So here we
go. I'm going to get in trouble for saying that, but if you want to get an Air Force woman and fly to Toronto, Berlin, Moscow, even Moscow, probably.
So you're in good with Vladimir Putin too, huh? You can try Beijing as well. Hey, you want to say hello online? It's Sergio at KURV.com. On X, on Twitter, it's at Sergio Talk. Have a wonderful weekend. Dana, Chris, entire team, love y'all. Thanks for the call. Y'all be safe.